Game one of the NBA Finals is in the books, and now we try to beat the books with our best bets for game two. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. We got to get going with Larry Hartstein, Mike Barner, and Adam Thompson. Larry, I'm going to start with you. Like I said, game one in the books. This is going to be a best bets show for game two. But I did notice, Larry, that the series swing from a price standpoint, it swung a little bit further than I thought. The Knicks are now minus 140 to win it all. The Spurs over at BetMGM plus 118. Just some initial thoughts before we get into picks.
Yeah, and Jalen Brunson now favored to win the MVP, as he should, after getting 30 points despite the injuries, despite not shooting well. But guys, I think this still has the chance to be a classic series. The Spurs are going to come back and win game two on their home floor. I am totally convinced of that. Not saying whether they cover, but they are going to even this series. Then the Knicks will win their first home game, first home finals game in what, 30 plus years. They're going to win that game, game three at the Garden. And then it's going to come down to game four, which I think will be tight. And then that will swing the series. If the Spurs get that, I believe we're going seven. If the Knicks get that, we're going six. And MSG and New York takes home the title.
Mikey B, I like how we just kind of put all the emphasis on game four. I like how we're plotting that out. We're going to have finals shows, by the way, for each of these games. But Mikey B, I want to ask you this. Spurs at plus 118, maybe plus 120. Is that tantalizing to you at all?
It is, because we saw last night Jalen Brunson went down twice. He came back twice. If he goes down again and doesn't come back, then things completely change for the Knicks side of things. So at plus money, I think that's worth the risk.
Adam Thompson, the flip side of that argument, of course, is that, well, yeah, he did go down. He went to the locker room, and the Knicks still held their own against the San Antonio Spurs. What are your thoughts on the plus 120 or plus 118 on the Spurs side?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously value there. They were a great team all season, and New York teams typically get a little overvalued than real life. We see it in the NFL all the time with point spreads with the Giants and Jets. But you know, they've looked great. They've won 12 straight now. Nobody has figured them out long term. Like, game two is going to be really interesting. The Spurs need to win this one, but the Knicks are, the Knicks have taken the best shots of other teams in game twos as well.
Knicks haven't lost a basketball game in a very long time. Larry, go ahead.
And the two losses came by 1 point to the Hawks.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at the spread, it's very attractive.
I mean, who would have thought the Atlanta Hawks gave the Knicks the best challenge throughout these playoffs? And for now, that does include the Spurs. It's wild. All right. Obviously, the Spurs are going to bounce back. Let's talk about some of the big name players and some of their points props before we get into our official plays and some plays on sides and totals, things of that nature. Wemby is still sitting at 27.5. Adam Thompson, your thoughts on his point total?
Well, for game one, Mike and I sat here and both liked the under on 26.5, and he finished at 26 points, and it was a tough 26. 6 of 21 shooting for him. I'm actually leaning over for this one. The line's about where it was. I expect a bounce back in some way, shape, or form. You know, they're 7-0 when he scores 27 points this postseason. And, they need more from him offensively. He needs to be that focus. They need to find it. They need to get him the ball. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be great, because this Knicks team is very good defensively. I think he's going to force things more so, and they might force it into him. But I think that's going to lead to more points. Is it going to lead to a Knicks win? I'm not so sure about that necessarily. But he's going to score more points. I expect he's going to be more assertive on the offensive end.
Mikey B, he does certainly force things, and he has become a little bit predictable, especially when he's outside of the block, like toward the top of the key. You know, you're getting that kind of slower crossover, and you kind of wait and see what happens with that. You actually like the under on this 27.5.
I do, yeah. Adam mentioned he shot 6 for 21 from the field in game one. He's likely not going to do that again. He'll be more efficient. However, he was also 12 for 13 from the free throw line in that game. 18 playoffs games, he's only attempted at least 10 free throws in a game 5 times. So him going the line 13 times is not exactly the norm. He's averaging 23.8 points per game in the playoffs. I mean, we're asking him to score a lot here. We're asking him to score 28 or more points. I just don't think that happens.
Larry, break the tie here. These are not official plays yet. These are kind of leans. We're talking about some of the star players. Are we on over or under 27.5 for Wemby?
I'm going with Adam. You know, Cat played great defense. He moved his feet. He stayed in position. He didn't get in foul trouble. But Mitch Johnson already came out and said, we have to get Wemby the ball. in better spots early in the game. We have to establish that. So I think you're going to see a lot of lobs, pick and rolls, post-ups, whatever they can do to get Wemby the ball in the paint, because if you get Karl Anthony Towns in foul trouble, you swing the momentum of that game dramatically, because Cat was incredible in game one. So I think they're going to go to him early. I lean over.
All right. You mentioned Karl Anthony Towns. We're going to get to his points prop in a second, but let's talk about Jalen Brunson, 25.5 points. I think if you're a Spurs fan, by the way, the fear in them not winning the series, outside of the fact that you're already down 1-0 and you lost home court advantage, is if any of these games are close in the fourth quarter, I don't know that there's a better closer in the NBA than Jalen Brunson. I don't know that there's anybody that you can rely on to get 10-plus points in a fourth quarter or 10-plus points in the last 5 minutes of a fourth quarter than Jalen Brunson. His point total, 25.5. Mikey, be your thoughts.
I would definitely lean over. Now, he had 30 points in game one. He only attempted 4 free throws, and he was 2-for-9 from 3, and he still scored 30 points. So that's because he took 31 shots, but he's averaged 20.7 shots per game in the playoffs. So his usage rate is sky high here. Even with all those defensive guards that the Spurs can throw at him, I would lean over.
Adam, you lean over as well, right?
Yeah, I also leaned over on his assist for game one, and he had 2. So that was unfortunate. But 31 shot attempts, that was the most he shot all season long in a game. That feels almost untenable, but like Mike said, he didn't get to the line. He didn't shoot a lot of threes. He was just clutch. He had the ball in his hands and he decided to take over and was successful and led the Knicks to the win. But, you know, keep in mind, this team only scored 105 points. So they didn't have a great offensive game total. So I think he's going to pass more. I still like him in the assist mark too, but I think this number is fine. Over 25.5. I have no problem with this. I think he's still going to score points. I think we're just going to see more points. I feel like that first game was just kind of a feeling out game. Now we're going to see a little more flowing movement. And I think he goes over on this 25.5.
Larry, you lean over as well, but you have a very specific lean on Jalen Brunson's 3-pointers.
Yeah, but see, you made a great point about the fourth quarter and how much usage he's going to get and how he can get you double digits in any fourth quarter once he checks back into the game. And I felt pretty good with my prop in game one that he was going to go over 24.5 points because, like you said, he's going to have the ball on every single possession. He's going to shoot free throws. But what stood out to me from game one was he took 9 3-pointers, and he only made 2. But 2 of them were down, like halfway down, and they didn't go. And that's a shot that the Spurs are going to live with. We know Jalen Brunson will get to the mid-range. We know he'll try to get to the basket when Wembanyama's not there. But I think we're looking at another high volume of threes, you know, 7, 8 threes, maybe 9 again. And this time I think we'll look at the plus money up there to just make 3 3-pointers.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense at plus 145 to hit that 3-pointers on Jalen Brunson. Speaking of people who can hit threes, let's talk about Karl Anthony Towns. His total is 16.5. Adam, I'll go to you here. Do we like the points total? And I want to point this out. When we were doing the game one preview, and certainly on the Early Edge morning show as well, on the Sportsline YouTube channel every day at 10 o'clock, everyone, a lot of people were asking about Karl Anthony Towns' PRA, which was 32.5, then it went down to 31.5. It's now standing at around 31.5. So, Adam, any thoughts on the points total over or that 31.5 PRA that I know some of our people are interested in?
Well, he had 34 PRA in the first game, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. And that feels like – it almost felt like that's kind of the low on where he kind of sits for this series, it felt like. I mean, he shot – a pretty modest 7 of 15. He was one of the better shooters out there. Nobody shot really well for either side. He was one of the few, but he only took 2 3-point attempts. He didn't make any threes in that game. That's not his game. You know, he can improve, production out there. So I think he's going to go up. He's been inconsistent against Wemby. We kind of talked about it, previously on shows. He's had 20 point games. He's had 12 point games. But 16.5, that seems low, just a good number to go the over with that 18 points. I think he's going to finish in the 18 to 24 range here.
Mikey, your thoughts on the points at 16.5 or the PRA at 31.5?
I'll discuss the points here. I was on the under for his points for game one. We talked about that as a lean, but what you like to see, he was super aggressive. Now, there's a lot of guys who, especially we saw in that Thunder series, when Wemby's in the lane, you kind of shy away. Towns was aggressive. He got the ball first quarter, went right at Wemby, was driving constantly. So I like to see that. aggressiveness. The Knicks kind of changed their offense to make him more of a facilitator when they were playing the Hawks. But I love his super aggressiveness. I think he has changed his attitude here. He's one of the leaders of the Knicks. He is pushing really hard to help them get this championship. He's going to stay aggressive, and I would lean over here.
Larry, I couldn't help but notice that Chet Holmgren somehow caught some strays there without his name ever even being mentioned by Mikey B. Any thoughts on Karl-Anthony Towns, Larry?
My prediction for game two for Cat, as great as he's playing, is that he will get in foul trouble. He had four fouls in game one. He played 34 minutes. But because of how they're going to attack inside early, and because they know that's kind of the key to them is to get him off the floor, I think, and we know how liable he is to get in foul trouble. You also have, you know, I'm not going to say there's any bias or, you know, conspiracies or anything like that, but a desperate home team with that raucous crowd may get an extra call or two and get Cat on the bench.
You heard it from Larry Hartstein. The NBA is going to conspire to make sure that the Spurs win game two. Okay, that's not what he said. All right, let's get to some other prop leans. Then we're going to get to sides and totals. And then we're going to get to our official plays. We got four or five of those. Prop leans. Now, Adam, you already mentioned this one, but I just want to make sure everybody hears it again. It's just a lean, but Jalen Brunson assists.
Yeah, I like this in the first game, and I still like it, despite him shooting 31 times and having two assists in game one. I think it behooves the Knicks for him to kind of distribute a little more. And he did so against the Spurs in the regular season. 7, 8, and 8 assists in those games. You know, he had at least 6 assists in 8 of the last 10 games for the Knicks. So I think he goes over that number. He's 6.5 is what he averaged on the season. And he's kind of been, you know, trending above that in the postseason and against San Antonio during the regular season and the NBA Cup. So, you know, I think he's not going to shoot 31 times again. Maybe he will, but I like the assist numbers. I think he gets back on track and gets the rest of his team back on track. And I think that's going to help the Knicks overall.
Mikey B, one of the names that we just don't hear about when we're breaking these games down, not just from this group, but from anybody that I'm hearing over at CBS Sports HQ or really anywhere else, we hear about Mikal Bridges, we hear about Karl-Anthony Towns, OG Anunoby, of course, Jalen Brunson, and all the whole cast over on San Antonio. We don't hear a lot about Josh Hart over the last few days. Your thoughts on him with his steals?
Yeah, well, when we do this leans category here, I like to come to the table with something with plus odds. And Josh Hart is the energy that drives the Knicks. Jalen Brunson is the scorer. You know, Towns is everything, Bridges. But I want to do Josh Hart's over 1.5 steals at plus 124. And he had 4 steals in game one. Over the last 4 games, he has 12 steals. In 15 playoff games, he's had at least 2 steals 9 times. He's one of the more active defenders in the league. He's always getting his hands in the passing lane. So at plus 124, I like his chances of getting at least 2 steals.
Larry, Josh Hart getting his hands in the passing lanes and also getting his hands on some boards.
15 rebounds at 6'5". I mean, incredible. He was one of the main reasons they won the game. He was plus 22 in the box score, and he only scored 3 points. You know, he got those extra possessions for the Knicks in the fourth quarter. I'm kicking myself that I didn't play his rebounds in game one. Now it's 8.5 overjuiced, where it was before it was 7.5, 8.5, kind of plus money. But I am still looking to play that over 8.5.
All right, let's get to a side here and a total, and then maybe some quarter or half bets, and then we're gonna rapid fire through this, of course, and we'll finally get to the official plays. Let's talk about the side. It has been fluctuating a little bit. I don't know if I saw a 6.5, but I certainly saw some 6s, seeing some 5.5s as well over at BetMGM. Let's settle it at 6 for now, but you can address the 5.5 if you want. Adam, I'm going to start with you. Do we like the Knicks plus the points?
We do like the Knicks plus the points, and we liked it in game one, and they delivered. It was, you know, each team just kind of traded roundhouse rights all game. You know, the Knicks got off hot. The Spurs came back. The Knicks did start off hot. The Spurs came out even hotter, and they just went back and forth. And the Knicks kind of got the knockout blow in the end. But I think every game's, you know, potential to go either way or be really close. And we saw, you know, in the regular season, you know, the Knicks have won 3 of 4 against these guys. The one loss was by, I think, 2 points. So I don't know if they figured out the Spurs, but they could certainly hang with the Spurs. And, you know, I think the energy is going to be awesome. But I hear a lot of cheering when the Knicks hit shots in San Antonio as well. So I don't know if, that might fuel them as well in a little bit. So I think it's going to be another close game. You know, certainly The game twos for the Knicks have gone very well. They've withstood, you know, similar situations against the Sixers and the Cavaliers. So I think they hang again in game two.
Mikey B, your thoughts here.
I agree. I like the Knicks at the plus six here. You listen to the Knicks interviews after the game. This is not one of those teams like, all right, great. We got one game on the road. You know, we can just mail in game two and then we'll be back in New York. They are going for the jugular. They want to go home up 2-0. You know, Adam was talking about those Knicks celebrity fans travel well. You do hear some cheers in that arena, which is rare because the Spurs are usually a pretty good home court there. So I just feel I could definitely see the Spurs winning. I'd be surprised if the Knicks won this game, but plus six, plus 5.5. I mean, this could come down to the final 30 seconds again.
It absolutely could. And if it does, watch out, San Antonio. You might be down 0-2 pretty quick. And it's funny, Mikey B, what you said about them not being comfortable or relaxed because they stole one. I mean, it's very Kobe-esque what's happening there in terms of that famous interview question, right? He's up two games to none in the finals, and the reporter or the interviewer was asking him, you know, why aren't you cracking a smile? And he said, what's there to be happy about? The job's not done. Larry Hartstein, do we have a lean on the Spurs the other way here laying the points?
I think the most likely outcome is a Spurs cover here because, I mean, this if the Spurs are who we thought they were and as good as everyone thinks they are, this is their season. They're at home, desperation spot, game two. They'll make some adjustments. I think the two big adjustments are Wemby catching the ball in the paint, number one. Number two, Dylan Harper playing more and De'Aaron Fox playing less. You do those two things, I think they will shoot the ball a little bit better. I love this Knicks team, but I think this is totally a San Antonio spot.
Absolutely love the commentary on Dylan Harper. There was somebody on this show a few weeks ago when we did a special, one of our first special NBA prop shows, when De'Aaron Fox was on the shelf. I this person said, hey, maybe this Spurs team is just as good with Dylan Harper in there. And I feel like a lot of people are starting to feel that way. I think De'Aaron Fox is good. I just think Dylan Harper is really emerging. Let's go to the total. Oh, Larry, go ahead. Follow up.
I was going to say, well, those two games he missed at the beginning of the last round, they had 52 turnovers. So they do need his ball handling a little bit. But down the stretch, he just didn't look like himself. He doesn't have the speed. His shot's not going. So we'll see. I mean, he's going to start for sure, but I think he'll get a quicker hook.
The total has been moving around here as well. I've seen 214.5, 216.5, right now settling at BetMGM. I shouldn't say settling, but 215.5, that's the range we're in. Mikey B, do we like the over or the under?
Yeah, I think this corrected a little bit too much. I mean, you just look at some of the stats of this game. The Spurs shot 36% from the field, including 25.6% from three. That's not going to happen again. The Knicks also didn't shoot well. They were 41.5% from the field. So just a little bit of normalization from both of these teams. I would go over 214.5. I'd go over 215.5. 216.5, I don't feel as good about it, but I'd probably lean over there too.
Totally agree, Adam. This does feel like an overcorrection. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't this in the 217, 218.5 range for game one? This is a pretty big move to 214, 215.
Yeah, and number one was just a boxing match, and you know they're just trying to figure each other out. And but you know, and Mike said these teams shot terribly. You know, the Spurs shot those 25% on threes, 43 3-point attempts, and the Knicks weren't a whole lot better. They shot in the 40s in attempts, and in the low 30s in percentage. So I expect much better offensive efforts from both sides in game two. I mean, these two teams combined to score almost 240 points a game during the season. I don't necessarily expect that here, but, you know, the over has been trending for both these teams, especially the San Antonio. So I expect more offense from both sides.
All right, Larry, I know you don't have necessarily a take on the total. I want to get to quarter or half bets before we get to our actual official plays. And believe it or not, you know, we don't discuss these before the show. We don't compare notes. Mikey B and Adam, you're on the same exact play here. And Adam, I'm going to let you make the argument for the Spurs first quarter minus 1.5.
Well, they look pretty good in game one, and they've looked pretty good all postseason in quarter one. You know, they're one of the top 10 teams scoring in the first quarter in the league. They're one of the top 10 teams defensively. So this is kind of how they roll. And, you know, this is desperation time. Like Larry said, this is their season. They have to win this game. They need to start hot. And obviously it starts in quarter one. So I think they're going to come out hot. They're going to give everything they have. I think they're going to do some new things with Wemby, like Larry insinuated. So I think they have an edge right away. I think they're going to have that energy and they're going to bring it in first quarter.
Larry insinuated you're referring to the conspiracy that the Spurs are going to be handed game two. Is that I'm not sure what you're referring to there.
I was talking about Wimby getting the ball more down low, but you know, yes, you can go either way with that. You know, here nor there.
Mikey B, you like this play too. Anything to add?
Yeah, exactly what Adam said. It's desperation. And also, you know, Wemby doesn't – he's playing a lot more minutes than he did during the regular season. So he's fresh in the first quarter. In the second half, he, you know, he can get a little tireder. But in the first quarter, he's fresh, and they're going to have all desperation here.
All right, let's move to our best bets. And, Larry, I'm going to start with you. We have a little overlap here as well. Mikey B, you have the same – one of your two picks is the same as Larry's pick. But, Larry, I'm going to let you make the argument for a guy that we just talked about for at least a couple of minutes, Dylan Harper.
Yeah, I was looking for different ways to play him. I like his PRA over 19.5 if you can still get that. But I settled on just rebounds over 4.5 because I think the minutes are going to be there. I think we're talking about 30 minutes. I mean, he got 28 in game one, and Coach Johnson has taken so much criticism over not playing him down the stretch. And he is a guy who can defend what the Knicks were doing. Those second chance points were what killed the Spurs. And Dylan Harper is a great rebounder. He had 8 rebounds in game one. He has cleared this now in 9 of his last 11 games. And the two that he missed, one he got hurt, and the other one was the game following the game that he got hurt. So other than that, he has cleared this number every time. I think he's going to go over everything, you know, points, rebounds, assists, but I settled on rebounds.
Mikey B, anything to add? This is one of your official plays as well.
Yeah, Larry summed it up really well. The only thing I'll add is young guy at home. During the regular season, he averaged 3.9 rebounds a game at home and 2.9 on the road. So better rebounder here at home. And that was in like 23 minutes a game. He's going to play probably closer to 30 in game two.
And I think it's pretty clear that everybody knows that Dylan Harper is going to have to play a little bit more and step up a little bit more. And I don't just mean it's clear to us. I think it's clear to Dylan Harper. I think we're going to see him. That doesn't mean he's going to knock down every shot. I just think we're going to see him play really aggressive basketball and kind of cement himself getting more minutes for the rest of this series. Adam Thompson, let's go to one of your official plays. And we may as well go to, you know what, let's go to Julian Champagne. Let's do that one first because we really haven't brought him up at all. Your thoughts on his three-pointers?
Yeah, I had him at you know, over 9.5 in game one, and he scored 16 points, but he did it on 5 threes, 5 of 10 on three-pointers. And at this point, you might as well just pick him to go over on threes because that's the only way he's really scoring, contributing offensively at this point. He's 17 of 34 on three-point shot attempts in his last 4 playoff games. In 4 of those 5 games, he had 2 or fewer two-point shot attempts. So, you know, let's just go with the threes. It's over 2.5 right now. And, you know, he's launching. He's had 17 threes, like I said, in the last 4 games. He's had at least 4 or 3 in 3 of those games. He had 2 in the other one. So I think he can have another big game here. He's becoming more of an offensive just threat. Like he's, you know, he averaged about 11 points per game on the season, but 2 of the last 3 against OKC, he had 20, and then he had 16 here in game one. So I think he's going to keep firing. And if he fires 10 three-pointers, 10 or 11, like he's been doing, I like the odds on him hitting 3.
Fair enough on Julian Champagne, a key part there. Go ahead, Larry Hartson.
He looked so automatic in the first half from the corner. I mean, it was incredible. And then it was shocking because after halftime, I believe he did not make a three-pointer. I think he only took 2 or 3 after halftime. The Knicks made a conscious effort to not, you know, help off him too much. But he still did get 2 or 3 up, but they were way off. I mean, they were total bricks, which was kind of surprising because in the first half, it looked like he could basically stand in the corner and make 9 out of every 10, you know, if he's not guarded.
Adam, real quick here, because I know people, you might have a response to that, but people might be looking at his points prop. They see 10.5. It, you know, it's juiced. Don't get me wrong. It's not minus 108. It's actually closer to minus 130. But do we like that as well? If we think he's going to knock down 3 3-pointers, get another bucket, couple free throws, whatever the case may be, do we like the 10.5?
I like the 2.5 threes more because you just need 9 points. And he yeah. may not go to the line and he may not make or even attempt another shot other than that. So that was kind of my thinking for it. But the 9.5 has been gold for the last 2 series. You know, to add 1 point to it isn't a big deal, but I still like the 2.5 threes over the over points.
All right, let's get to Josh Hart, Mikey B. We talked about him with a lean, with the steals at a nice plus number. You've got him with his assists as an official play.
Josh Hart over 4.5 assists at -123. Now, he had that foul trouble a little bit early in game one, only played 27 minutes, but he still had 6 assists. So in the playoffs overall, he's averaging 33 minutes a game, so we could see more of him in game two. He's got a lot of efficient shooters around him. That's helped him record at least 5 assists in 6 of his last 9 games. I think the Knicks shoot better as a unit. Hart plays around 30 minutes and goes over 4.5 assists. He's just one of those guys where he gets the ball on the rebound. He runs up the court quick. The Knicks are sprinting on the wings, and those assists just rack up pretty quickly for Hart.
Totally agree. And Adam Thompson, you pretty much agree here as well, because you're not taking his assists, but instead you're taking his rebounds and assists.
Yeah, we got guys on here taking over on rebounds. We got guys taking over on assists. I'll just do both. I'll put them together and do both. No, nobody wants him to score, and he's not going to. He's only 1 of 5 in the last game. He was only 2 of 5 in the other game. He's in game 7. He's deferred, but he's become a huge factor in every other facet of the game. Like you said, you know, 15 rebounds in game one. He had 6 assists as well. He's had between 5 and 7 assists in the last 4 playoff games. And rebounding, you know, he's, you know, the line's at 8.5. You know, that I don't know if that's high or not. I mean, he had 15 in the last game. You know, I think that's pretty fair. He's probably going to go over that. But, you know, so the last 3 games, his rebound assist totals have been 21, 17, and 14. So I think he can do that again.
Yeah, Josh Hart is really, I'm expecting him to step up each and every game, but not necessarily in the box score with points, but with stuff like this. Larry, go ahead.
It's incredible discipline, because the Spurs want him to shoot, and he only took 5 shots. You know, when his wasn't on early, he basically said, okay, I'm just going to facilitate. I'm going to pass the ball. I'm going to set a screen. And that's pretty hard to do, to limit yourself to 5 shots when they're basically begging you to shoot the ball. So I got to applaud that guy, because what an incredible, you know, that's part of the Knicks chemistry. That's part of the reason they're winning, is because they have guys like Josh Hart.
Go ahead, Adam.
And he seemed like the one guy in the fourth quarter that had legs. Like, he was flying through the air, grabbing rebounds and handling the ball. It was very noticeable that he was out there out jumping and out hustling other people.
Yeah, also 8 to 9 days of rest will do that to you in the fourth quarter. Speaking of fresh legs, we're going to get to the recap screen in just a second. I do want to just mention some other names, just in case anything rings a bell here, because people are going to watch this. Thanks for watching, everybody. Always hit the like button and drop your comments in the YouTube chat. We're going to be doing these shows, or some semblance of these shows, whether they be live or pre-recorded, for the rest of the finals. But Mikey B, we didn't talk about Stephon Castle very much. We didn't talk about guys like Devin Vassell. We did touch on De'Aaron Fox, but not really OG Anunoby. We can't touch on every player. Mikal Bridges was a popular guy to talk about in game one. I'm noticing his points prop is 11.5. Anybody that I just mentioned that you think is going to have a big impact game, or maybe somebody to fade?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see. We're all talking about, well, Dylan Harper is going to get more minutes. Dylan Harper is going to get more minutes. I don't know if it's going to come at the expense of Fox, because like Larry was talking about, those 2 games that he missed, they were turnover machines. And when you're playing Hart and Bridges, that's a lot of turnover. So it could be, if Champagne or Vassell doesn't get off to a hot start, one of those guys sits, and then it's Harper, Fox, and Castle all out there together, because Castle's so strong, he can guard anybody. So that doesn't really worry me too much. So I think that's something to keep in mind, specifically with the Vassell-Champagne stuff. Like Adam said, you want to play the Champagne, do the threes, because he's not shooting anything else. So just bet him to shoot the threes. He can hit 3 threes in a quarter, and then you don't care what he does the rest of the game. It doesn't matter if he gets benched late because they need defense or something like that. So I would not be surprised if we see some 3-guard lineups from the Spurs.
Adam, any thoughts on any of the players I mentioned?
You know, Castle is just awesome. He's just fun to watch, and he's so consistent to the point where you know what he's going to do, and the number's right where you think he's going to end up. So, you know, I kind of looked at all the things he's done, and I found no value in anything, because he's just so consistent across the board.
16.5 and 28.5 is the points, and then the PRA. Obviously, there's other things you can look at.
His last 3 games, he has 17, 16, and 17. Yeah. So there you go. Clockwork.
Larry, any commentary about any of these guys, or any closing thoughts before we get to the recap screen?
I think OG Anunoby started to wake up offensively in that fourth quarter, and I think that could carry over. His point total looks a little bit low at 14.5 in this game. That's one that I'm looking at. Fox at 14.5. I mean, still giving you 14.5 is very tempting to go under, because if he starts out, you know, cold, I think he could play under 30 minutes in this game after playing, what, 37, 38 minutes. But those are just a couple of leans. So far, I'm only on Dylan Harper.
All right, well, get in the Sportsline Discord, because I'm sure we'll have leans up until game time, maybe some live bets as we chat in the NBA channel. Ben, if you wouldn't mind, before we get to the recap screen, if you can show the graphic to join Sportsline for those that are trickling in that might be new to Sportsline and aren't a member for some reason. Sportsline.com/join is how you join up. And once you're there, you get everything that Sportsline has to offer, which is a ton, just a small sample size down here at the bottom of the screen. But you also get the Discord, discord.gg/sportsline. You want to make sure you're in there, because we're going to be talking all kinds of things, not just NBA, but this whole weekend. We got the Belmont Stakes, there's UFC, there's a lot going on, MLB, you name it. We've got it over in the Sportsline Discord. Let's get to the recap screen. And we've got five official picks, two are overlaps, and the overlap picks are with Dylan Harper's rebounds. We got Mikey B on that, and of course, Larry Hartstein, Dylan Harper over 4.5 rebounds, -112. Mikey B is also on Josh Hart over 4.5 assists at -123. And Adam Thompson likes Josh Hart too. He's taking Josh Hart over 13.5 rebounds and assists at -110. Finally, Julian Champagne over 2.5 threes at -108. I'll tell you what, we just dropped a lot of knowledge on this show, though. So don't just look at this recap screen. We had a big discussion on almost everybody that'll be on the floor for game two. Again, make sure you're subscribed to the Sportsline YouTube channel, as a lot of content is coming your way with respect to the NBA Finals. A big thank you to Larry, to Mike Barner, to Adam, and of course, to Ben on the ones and twos and threes and fours. It's been a great show. We're hopefully going to have a great game two and a great game three, four, five, six, and seven, because I do think this is going seven games. And if it does, we'll have a show for each and every one. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on The Early Edge.